Olivia is going to read from 1 Kings for us. So boys and girls, if you have your pads, you'll be able to follow along. And Olivia is going to come and read God's word to us.
First Kings 17 verses 7 to 16. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain on the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil did not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So she fed every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Amen.
Thank you, Olivia. And, well, last week, if you remember, the ravens were dropping off food for Elijah. And, well, I'm glad, because when I see food in a passage, you know where my mind goes, I'm glad this week I wasn't picking up roadkill and rabbits and badgers from the side of the road, because this passage is about bread, isn't it? And well, I brought our bread bin from home here, and hands up, you love bread. Who doesn't love bread, eh? No one? Wow. Good start. Bread! Who likes bread? Everyone loves bread. So here we have different types, and hard to beat a sliced bit of Vita now and again, isn't it? I know some people like to put cheese on it and so on. Vita's hard to beat. Well, love a wee bit of Vita. And, well, what else do we have in here? There's also a pan loaf, I suppose. Nutty crust? No, shaking the heads is a controversial. Some people love nutty crust, and people love it for their sandwiches or for their toast in the morning. And, well, for me, it's not the same, this bread, because it's not Market Hill bread, but I love a bit of wheaten bread. I love wheaten. Jam and cheese on a Sunday evening, couldn't beat it. I love a bit of wheaten. And you can get, I don't want to say nicer breads, but sweeter breads too, can't you? If you have an Indian, perhaps, if you're out, you might have some naan bread, mightn't you? And, well, you can get nice stuff with coconut in it, can't you? And I remember a couple of years ago, the Syrians, whenever they finished their time of Ramadan, that they brought some naan bread with lamb mince in it too. Incredible. I hadn't tasted bread like it, probably because there's meat in it, but there we are. And, of course, you can have, you know, a pan of chocolate or a pint of chocolate, can't you? Something nice and sweet, or, well, I got a wee bit hungry in the road down. You have a pancake too, can't you? You have a pancake too. But all these different types of bread are really tasty, and there's flour involved, isn't there? They're all really tasty. But in the passage here, the bread that's going to be made is not going to be that tasty. It's only flour and oil. It's not going to be a lovely, sweet, nutty crust or a bit of Vita. It's going to be quite hard and crunchy, maybe. It's going to be a flat bread. It's not going to be that good. So as we think about this passage together, here's something I want us to remember, okay? In our God, I can rely, for he always will supply. Okay, now, what I want to do is following, okay? So this is like an echo, right? So in our God, I can rely. I'd like you to repeat after I said it, and then, for he always will supply, I will say it, then you repeat. But there's a wee bit of a tune to this, okay? And I need you to be so tuneful, unlike me. Whenever I first came here, Stafford Carson said, there's no better place for singing than Le Comfort. So don't let me down in this wee chant, okay? So The tune's going to be like this. In our God I can rely, in our God I can rely, for he always will supply, for he always will supply. Got it? Simple? Think we can give that a go? So I'll start, and then you can echo me then, okay? Clear the throats. Let's get ready. In our God I can rely, for he always will supply. Pretty good. That's excellent. Hope the guys in the hall are doing it too. Okay, we'll go one more time and then we'll think about what this means for us. One, two, I have to do it for myself. Get in the rhythm. In our God I can rely. For he always will supply. Excellent. Okay, so that's what we want to remember from this passage, boys and girls. In our God I can rely, for he always will supply. But as we think about this story, last week we were introduced to Elijah and King Ahab, and this week we have another who. We have someone new that we want to meet, and this who, as you look in the passage, it's someone new. It's the widow, and I hope if your Bible's open, please follow along with me. We have the widow, and this widow, well, what is a widow? It's someone who's lost their husband. Her husband has died, and this widow has a little son as well, and it's a really, really sad. A woman with a young son, but no father or no husband to look after. And where this happens, Olivia did really, really well. Where is this all taking place? What is the village name? It is Zarephath. She did so good. Zarephath. And that place is going to be really important, okay, in this passage. Because in the Old Testament, Bible names are really important because they have meaning behind them. And what about Zarephath? Well, this is what the word meant. It meant a place of refinery or a crucible. Okay, and what does that mean? So lots of people will have a gold ring, but gold isn't pure. It needs to be purified, yes? So you need to melt off the gold and get rid of all the bad stuff. And we think about that in the Christian life when we go through troubles and trials, don't we? That God is refining us. That's what Peter talks about later on in the New Testament. So Zarephath's going to be a really tough place, okay? Zarephath's going to be tough. Where is it? It's in the region of Sidon. Why is that important? That's where Jezebel, the queen, was from, King Ahab's wife. And what's important about Sidon is that it's not in Israel, okay? The point of a Zarephath in Sidon, the whole point is it's not even in Israel. And then the god that was worshipped there, as well as in Israel, was Baal. Okay, so Baal was worshipped there. And why was life so hard, boys and girls? We know the answer. Because there was no food. There's no water. There was famine in the land. And the widow, she's collecting sticks for her last meal. Not really sad. Imagine going out, collecting sticks to cook your last dinner, your last meal. It was just a little bit of flour, as you can see on the screen, and just a little bit of oil that was left. But what do we learn in this passage? Even we've got all these pieces to put together, what do we learn? We're going to sing again. In our God I can rely, for he always will supply. Okay, so here's the first thing. God's word is trustworthy. That's the first thing that we need to remember and to learn. God's word is trustworthy. How do we know that? Well, let's look at our Bibles. In verse 8, this is what God's word says. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Okay? So this is God's word speaking to Elijah. And this is what God says to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place. So the first thing is that Elijah is told by God that there's going to be a widow. It seems really simple, doesn't it? But it's going to come true. In the Bible, lots and lots of times, God speaks, and what happens to whatever God says? It comes true, doesn't it? We think of the flood in Noah's time. We think of the scarlet cord that Rahab had to set out, that if she did that, she would be saved. What happened? She set it out, and she was saved. Elijah is told by God there will be a widow, and what happens? Who does Elijah meet? A widow. So we can tick that off, as it were. God's word's trustworthy. what God said is going to come true. What's the next one? Elijah is told that by God that the widow's going to feed them. God says, I have commanded the widow in that place to supply you with food. Elijah is going to meet this widow, and he does. And what will Elijah get at the end? Food. So we can give that one a tick. God's word is trustworthy. Can you imagine, right? You're looking for food. And just imagine you're this widow, and you're in the middle of a famine, in the hut, with your only son, young son, and an absolute stranger comes up to you and says, can I have your last bit of food there, please? Would you do it? No way. No way. It'd be really hard, but look at how she responds. She just says to Elijah, it says about you're from another place, that you have another God. She says, as surely as your Lord lives, I don't have anything left. I've only got a little bit left for me and my son. She's kind of saying no, isn't she? She's kind of saying no initially. But then what does Elijah do? Well, he speaks on behalf of God, doesn't he? He's a prophet. The last way we know God's word is trustworthy in this story is that God, through Elijah, tells the widow there's going to be food. So, they have this conversation. Can you get me some water? Oh, and by the way, bring me your last bit of food over. And then they get to, Elijah says to her, look, don't be afraid. That's the first thing he tells her. Don't be afraid. We've heard that lots of times in Scripture, haven't we? Fear not. Don't be afraid. Go and do as I say. So make me a small bit of bread. And then this is what, in verse 14, for this is what the Lord of God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on this land. In other words, God through Elijah tells the widow that there will be food. And what happens at the end of the story? What is there? Food. There's flour and there's oil. God's word is utterly trustworthy. Elijah tells her, don't be afraid, but obey God's word. See, Zarephath, this place that's really of refinery, of difficulty, of suffering, do you see how hard that would be for Elijah and the widow? I know Elijah's just been fed by ravens, but imagine having to go to a weak widow on her final legs and say, give me your last bit of food. That would have been really difficult, wouldn't it? But what does Elijah do? He trusts God's word, doesn't he? Because he knows it's going to come to be. He knows God to be utterly trustworthy. And so must we. Why? What's our chant? Want to remember? We want to sing again. In our God I can rely. For he always will supply. God's word is trustworthy. His word will come true. And he will provide. That's the second thing, isn't it? For each of those trustworthy sayings from God, each one came true. Each time God provided. It's proof that God's word is trustworthy. It's proof. If you want proof, there it is. What God said would happen, happened. And it's the most amazing thing when Elijah meets her and that she makes the food. And what happens in verses 15 and 16? We know, don't we? Verses 15 and 16, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word that the Lord had spoken by Elijah. God's word never fails. God will provide. The flour does not run out. God provided for this lady and her family. He provided them. He sustained them. He looked after them. God will provide. What he says will come true. In our God I can rely, for he always will supply. What does God supply us with? What does God provide us with? Well, he provides us with plenty, doesn't he? We know that. We're not worried about a famine anytime soon, although farmers will complain that it hasn't rained in a few days. But the most important thing that God provides for us is Jesus. It's Jesus. the one who was promised long ago, and because God is trustworthy in his word, Jesus comes. Jesus comes and he provides us a way to heaven, doesn't he? He is the narrow door, the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus. Because our biggest problem is not the famine. The widow here is in famine. She needs food. Our biggest problem is not food, but sin, isn't it? Because at times we reject God, we decide not to follow God's ways. But what does God provide in Jesus is a Savior. The one who's going to come and save us from our sin, that we would have life, that we would have a fullness, that his mercies would be new every morning to us. Because we have experienced his grace. We're going to sing again. In our God I can rely. For he always will supply. Okay, God's word's trustworthy. God will provide us with Jesus. And God's Son is for everyone. Now, that might seem really obvious, but where is Elijah here? Elijah is in Zarephath, which is not Israel. He is outside of Israel. In the Old Testament, each nation had their God, a wee bit like a flag. Okay, though it doesn't work in Northern Ireland. Each nation would put their flag up in whatever area. Their nation's flag will be up in their nation. And each nation had their God. And their God kind of only worked, as it were, in their nations. So in Sidon, where Baal was worshipped, there was a sense where Baal only worked in those nations where Baal was worshipped. Baal didn't go down to Egypt and fiddle about there and come back up. Baal was stuck in those nations. And that's what they thought of every god. But what God is showing is that God is not like every god. God is going to go out. Elijah goes to a foreign land. And it just shows us that God is going to work everywhere. God is working everywhere. It's a glimpse of what will happen in the future, where Jews and Gentiles will know that Jesus is for everyone. For the adults here are going to come on Wednesday. Look up Luke 4 later on. Jesus talks about this story. And people get really angry at Jesus. Why? Because Jesus says, I'm for everybody. Your God's for everyone. Doesn't matter how much you've sinned in the past. Doesn't matter where you're from. What matters is that you follow me or not. Doesn't matter if you're from Sidon or from Israel. But God's grace is extended. God's grace is for everyone, for me, for you. God will provide, and he does. He provides us with a son. It's not just for the Jews, that Messiah, but for each of us. God's word is utterly trustworthy. In our God I can rely. For he always will supply. God supplies us with unending grace, doesn't he, in Jesus. Elijah goes out of Israel. Think of the number of people he would have had to bypass on his journey. Do you ever think about that? All the people he bypassed where God wasn't going to show grace. Don't ignore God's grace. It might pass you by. It'll be too late. Don't ignore it. God's word is trustworthy. He provides. And there's grace in Jesus for all of us. All of us. Because we can utterly rely on our God. Let me finish with another poem. I haven't done one in a couple of months. An everlasting jar which always had some flour. For years there was no rain. To Baal they prayed in vain. No water supply meant no food. Obviously everyone was subdued because they disobeyed yet again. God had Elijah provided for a brook and watching ravens soar, meat falling from the sky. His needs God did supply. He never needed any more. The word of God came to him. Go to Sidon. Might seem grim. A widow there will supply his need. Elijah and her family she will feed. For with no food they were getting quite trim. Her last meal she did provide, but flour and oil will be plentiful supply. The last will never run out, food aplenty through the drought, and with them he will reside. A foreign widow will experience God's grace, though at times she will fall on her face, but she'll know God's word to be true. Her faith will give her a new view, for God's plan she'll be able to trace. A widow from Jezebel's land was in God's caring hand. Despite her not knowing the God above, she was a recipient of God's love, a signal God's grace will expand. God's expanded grace, please don't ignore. Don't let it pass you by anymore. God will supply all your needs, especially in dealing with our misdeeds, for on Jesus God's wrath did pour. God's grace has expanded. He won't leave you stranded. Jesus, God's only Son, died. Salvation for followers supplied. Follow Jesus as he has commanded. In our God I can rely. For he always will supply. Let's worship him for that. We can utterly rely on our God. He is so good to us. He will always supply our needs, ultimately through Jesus. And we're going to sing together, God, you're good to me. You gave me life and set me free.